Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, God, in all of his plan, thank God he's overall. Satan can't do anything the Lord doesn't allow. And Satan can't do anything that isn't worked into God's purpose. It must be frustrating to be the devil, to realize that everything I do just works out for him. I can't win. He thought he was going to win at the cross, didn't he? Remember what Jesus said when he was being arrested? And he talked about, anyway, the idea was, I'm not fighting this. This is your hour when darkness reigns. God literally took his hands off and said, devil, do your thing. And what the devil did wound up engineering his own defeat and our salvation. Praise God. There's no way the devil can win for anybody that puts their trust in God. It doesn't matter what the course of earthly life is about. We know how it ends, and we know that there's a God who will work everything out according to his purpose. It will always accomplish that. But here we are. And here is what the devil is being allowed to do. And there was a restraint in place. There was a reign that was set up. We were literally raised from God, raised from the dead by the grace of God, right? But it didn't stop there. He seated us where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, we're the ones in the high ground right now. The high ground doesn't mean preserving this. The high ground means trusting God and standing fast for him and looking to him. That's the high ground, because I'll tell you, if your eyes are ever open, you're ever born of his spirit, and you see the kingdom of God on the inside, you know that it's real. Then it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. There's something here that will hold us and keep us strong. Praise God. That's what Paul is talking about. Of course, right now he's talking about what's coming, okay? So how's that going to work out? All right? It says, so all of this is coming, this secret power, the power that was really there then, but it was restrained. God's going to take the restraint off and say, all right, go for it. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. You're right back to this coming and splendor and power and glory. Isn't that what this whole passage is about? This isn't about something that happens after we're raptured out of here. This is the climax. Christians, in other words, are going to live through this. We're going to need the Lord. And we got him. Praise God. He's faithful. All right? So anyway, where was I? Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, let's talk about this bad guy. If it's a guy, a single person, or just the condition, I don't know. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. So that's the inspiration behind it. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Folks, we need a spirit of discernment, don't we? Wouldn't that be a good thing to be praying, God, fill us with a discernment so that we know the difference? Because God can do supernatural things. Absolutely, he can and will. But so can the devil. And we just need him. There's going to be, well, Jesus said, there's going to be signs and wonders that will come that are designed, if it were possible, to deceive even the elect. If it were possible. See, God's going to be with his people if we look to him. But he wants us to know these things. He doesn't want us just to blunder through history and not have some sense of what's going on and why. We need to understand our world. Do you know why things are happening the way they are in the world? Do you know why people have such crazy ideas? Where are they getting this from? There is an inspiration behind it. All right? So anyway, he will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that do what? They serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. See, Satan doesn't care which lie he uses, which version of it. All he wants to do is to get people to follow their own desires, live for their own lives in this world. He can do it through religion, or he can just do it through lust and wickedness, whatever it is. As long as it causes somebody not to serve God but to serve themselves, he doesn't care. But all he wants to do is deceive. Even in Paul's day, who was the one who blinded the eyes of men? The God of this world. He's blinded people so they cannot see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. All right? All the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. Now, why are they perishing? They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. See, right there reminds us that God didn't just arbitrarily say, no, you're going to be lost. People have a responsibility to respond when God reaches out, and no one can respond unless God is working and reaching out to their hearts. But what happens when God shines a light and people close their eyes and push it away? There's a hardness of heart, but another way to put it is a blinding of the eyes. What happens if somebody reaches the point where they are literally physically blind? You can shine all the light you want to. They can't see it anymore. And we are more and more seeing a world in which people are choosing. Wherever the light has already been, especially, people are choosing to listen to the voice of the enemy. Whatever it is that caters to human nature, it could be religious. Many times it is. And I'll tell you, God is faithful to his own. But this is what's going on. God has made himself known. The same thing you see, we pointed out many times in Noah's day. My spirit will not always strive with man. Well, that tells me that God had been striving with man. That there, all this wickedness that unfolded in that ancient world didn't just happen. God was trying to get their attention and they kept saying, no, 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 no. And finally God said, okay. I'm taking my hands off. My God, I pray there's nobody who hears this who's in that valley of decision and you say no. Because when God takes his hand off, that's it. Praise God. I'm glad he's not in a hurry. He's not looking to shut people out. He'll reach out as long as there's a breath of hope. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But this is real, folks. This is where everything is headed. We are going to be 100% aligned with him to the point where we're willing to lay down our lives. Or we're going to be 100% blind, unaware of what's coming until it happens. This is the world we're sailing into. And of course, again, this is not just a doctrinal issue because we're here. This is real. We're seeing things unfold in our world, and they're coming to America. Now, I'm all for it if the Lord wants to delay it to accomplish something. That's wonderful. But don't expect that this is normal. This is not normal in history. And if Satan is really does take over the world system, and he's got control of all the sources of natural power, do you think we're going to be meeting like this? You think he's going to allow any of this? He will shut it down and shut us down, and we'll, you know what it would be like. We're going to need the Lord, folks. All right, all the ways. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. That's what happens when people make a choice. God steps back and says, all right, Satan, they're yours. Do your thing. They have said no to me for the last time. They made a choice, and it wasn't just a casual thing. It was a final no. And a powerful delusion. A powerful delusion, strong delusion it is in the King James, is when somebody believes something that is totally false, but to them it's 100% true. They're completely convinced of something, that something is true, but it's totally false. You see this in the world everywhere. People are fighting for this cause and fighting for that one, and they're full of anger and full of division and full of everything. You see the inspiration behind it. Tear things down. Tear it down. Satan's here trying to take over. So God is going to let him do his thing at the end. Praise God. I'm so glad that doesn't leave us in a place that we can't handle. But anyway, he says, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. You see the spirit behind it. Satan dangles everything that this flesh desires, this whole nature desires. And if people cling to that, it's not good. I'll tell you, if there's anything in your life that you love more than God, more than his kingdom, you will perish. Might as well tell the truth. It's not because God wants you to perish, but you will if there's something you choose over serving him. It's more important to you to have this, something of this earth and something of this life. That's sober truth, but we need to tell the truth. We need to tell it in love. We need to tell it so people will be warned, and people who can hear it will respond and say, oh God, I want to be yours. Now, how many of you think that the Lord put all this in here to make us afraid and feel totally hopeless and helpless? And, oh my God, how is it, you know, what are we going to do? Anybody here think that? No. But we need to tell the truth, don't we? We need to face the truth. But, oh, thank God for the buts. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits. Some manuscripts say from the beginning. We know that from other scriptures anyway, that God did the choosing before the foundation of the world. Chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. You know, if anybody comes to Christ, it's not just because of some natural inclination, some natural ability. God is a spirit. And he comes and he works with people's hearts. And he begins to make known things. He'll point something out and speak to your heart and get you ready. And his purpose is to set you apart from where everybody else is going. God wants to set you and me apart. And those he calls, everyone, he has the result. The only reason you would respond to the gospel is that God has gone ahead and worked with your heart and produced in you a heart that can listen. You know, the word says don't try to plant on unplowed ground, I forget the exact wording, and don't plant among thorns. But you know what God's Spirit does? If you think about a crop, God comes in and plows the heart. He gets us ready. Sometimes it's a matter of showing us our need, making life suddenly hard, and we realize, my God, I'm on the wrong road. I need something I don't have. I'm guilty of this. There's 1,001 ways, 1,001,000 ways that God would deal with this human heart to get him ready. Oh, if he's talking to your heart, you listen. It's because he loves you. He's got to show you your need before you'll ever come. Don't be afraid of it. Oh, how proud we are, how much we are attached to this life and its desires. And God wants us to let go. Praise God. All right? He called you to this through our gospel, the good news, the message. Why? That you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he's going with this one day. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and by his grace, there it is again, by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So you see the Lord telling us the truth, not wanting us to live in this fairy tale that, Christian life's going to be easy. We know it's not. But we know that God is undergirding everything, every place he takes us. Every bit of our journey, God is with his people. You know, I thought about the scripture we use so many times in Revelation 11, or 12 rather, about the victory that was won at the cross, and then it was declared, and then the saints overcame the devil. How? The blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony. Loved not their lives so much as to shrink from death. Oh, wait a minute. I'll gladly quote the word to the devil. That's fine. Then I'm going to go back and play my round of golf. This is part of it, folks. Now, God doesn't call us all to the same destiny. There are some people that live their lives in relative ease and then die. We got trials, but they aren't like this. But, folks, if you have really come to Christ and been identified with him, you have laid down your life. And I am more and more convinced when the Lord pictures the end of the age like this and the devil taking control gaining central power over the whole human race, what do you think he's going to be doing to Christians? Oh, they have their rights. Just let them go. He is going to be doing everything in his power to kill every Christian. We're going to need the Lord. We've got the Lord. Praise God. But we're going to need to walk honestly and realize what it costs to serve the Lord. Is it really worth everything? Oh, listen to the brothers and sisters in China and Somalia and other places and what the things that they've gone through. And you see how the Lord has given them strength. It's like Paul could point to them in Thessalonica. But we need to wake up and realize what the Lord has done for us and what it cost him. It cost him his life. It costs us our earthly life, but he's given us one that we can't lose. If he calls us down that road, he will go with us. I know that, I don't think there's a person here who could say, yeah, bring it on, I'm ready. I couldn't. But I know that whatever the Lord's course is for your life or for mine, he knows how to get us ready. He knows what to do to bring us through this circumstance and that one so that our faith, like that of the Thessalonians, grows. So that we find in ourselves a strength to stand. And I'm so thankful that when the trial comes, always with it will come what? Grace. He will always give us the ability. Paul said, I can do all things. I can do most things. No, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the message God wants to have for his people. Because I was trying to think, what is this really about? Is it just about, oh my God, bad times are coming, we better get ready? This is about God getting us ready. And the fact that he is going to carry his people through no matter what it looks like, no matter when this happens. But folks, this is the territory we're sailing into. The devil is going to be allowed to have his power at the end of the age. I will not set dates or tell you how because I don't know. But I know this thing. I know this. God wants us to do exactly what Noah did in his day. What did Noah do? What was it that set him apart from everybody else? He walked with God. Real complicated. That meant in his everyday life, there was this consciousness. I want ears to hear, Lord. If you got something to say, I want to hear it. And not only do I want to hear it, I don't want to hear it so I can debate with it. I want to hear it so I can do it. Was God faithful to Noah? Absolutely. God gave him every instruction, made every provision for him. Did the same thing with Lot. Lot was no prize. But he had an ear that could still hear. And God reached out to him. And God reached out to the people of the first century, didn't he? Because they were coming to the end of an era, the end of the Jewish era. God reaped the harvest of those that were his among the nation. The rest hardened their hearts. And they turned away. And wrath was going to come upon them. Destruction came upon them. The Lord wept about it, but it was still the case. Because they had chosen. He had called and they had refused to listen. But here's the thing. What Paul prayed back in the first chapter is what I believe God prays for us. Thank God, do we have somebody in heaven praying for us? And we can pray for one another. These are things we need to be conscious of. Just don't go blindly through your life saying, I've got plans and this and that's going to happen and life's going to go on. I don't know. What if it doesn't? What if these things unfold sooner rather than later? Then what? With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Where does this all come from? It comes from him, doesn't it? And that how by his power, that's the heart, that's probably the title that needs to be on this. Because everything we need to face what is happening in the world is all based not upon us, but by his power. How did Jesus go to the cross? It was by God's power that he did what he did for us. How do we serve him in an ungodly world? By his power. It means whatever we need in the way of strength to be able to lay down our lives, if that's his call, we can do it. Not because we're strong or able, but God has promised us his power. By his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And I'll tell you, God's going to be glorified in every bit of it. I'll tell you, to God be the glory. And of course, he talks about how, earlier we read about how we were told to stand firm. God is going to have a people in this hour. He has a people in this hour. But I believe he wants us to not live in this little fantasy world that life is just going to go on. This world has a destiny. We've talked about that recently. It's not going to get better here. It's going to get more and more under Satan's control. God's going to allow it. But in the process, God is going to finish something in us that is amazing. And don't worry about things that are happening. Oh, God, why is bad things allowed to happen? God's just. No one is getting away with anything. Everyone will stand before Jesus on that day, the glorified Son of God, and give an account for what they've done. God will pay back everything that needs to be paid back. We can just leave all of that in his hands and say, Lord, just give me faith. We can have the same spirit of Stephen. Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge as he was dying under their stones. He knew their condition, but there was no hatred in his heart toward them. Oh, God, I can't do any of this. I can't face what's coming. Not me. I don't believe there's anybody here who can say, yeah, bring it on, like I said. But we have one to whom we need to look. And what we need to be doing in the meantime is walking with him. That means talking to him. That means listening. That means wanting his will. That means doing what Paul said, reaching forth for the things that I don't really have yet, but I know I need them. Lord, help me to lay hold of that. And the same God who's called us to this kingdom is going to bring us through all the way to the end. I don't know how many people of God's followers are going to literally still be here in the flesh when he comes. You've got a picture in Revelation in one place about people who have come out of the great tribulation. That's the language. It may be that most of us will come from the other side, but we're going to be there. Praise God. And I'll tell you, if the Lord allows one of us to lay down our lives for the faith, and we die because we're not willing to give up Jesus, man, that's a one, like I said many times, that's a one-way ticket out of here. We're going to be walking with the Lamb. We're going to be just waiting that day when all the rest of our brethren are brought together. The devil's going to think that he's got everything surrounded and just about to pounce and get rid of this crazy bunch of Christians. Get them out of my kingdom so I can be a God. And the Lord's going to say, uh-uh, today is the day. I'm coming and your kingdom is done. And we're going to set everything exactly right and all destinies will be fulfilled. How are we going to do all this? By his power. And he is faithful, promised. Praise God.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.